I do a lot of events with regular people, everyday people, people who don't have the CFA designation, who glaze over when anyone brings up the stock market, who feel intimidated when they have to meet with their financial advisor. So how can you communicate better when it comes to meeting one of the most important people as it relates to your financial well-being? Ellen Besner is a lawyer and an author. Her latest book is called Communication Risk, and it comes with an investor guide to help you navigate communication with your advisor. Ellen is here to tell us more about it. Hello there.
Hello, how are you?
What are some of the biggest communication challenges that clients deal with their advisors?
So one of the challenges is that they're secretive, they don't trust necessarily, and they're also nervous about asking questions.
Yeah. Very, very common. People feel very, very anxious about asking questions. Your book is all about trying to improve that. For successful client-advisor relationships, you have three steps. The first one is honesty and transparency. What does that mean?
So they should feel that comfortable enough with their advisor so that they tell them what their goals are if they know them. And if they don't know what their goals are and they need help trying to figure those out, they should be transparent with their advisor even about that.
To say, I don't know. Ask me some smart and insightful questions and I will answer those questions.
Exactly.
Openness, number two. What's that mean?
So again, don't hold back. If you have questions, if there's something that enters your mind and you're self-conscious about it, just get it out there.
Regular contact is number three. What does regular mean in your view?
Regular contact is if you get your statement whenever it is that you open it up, and it should be upon receiving it, and if you don't understand it, you pick up the phone, you speak to your advisor, and you tell him or her, I don't understand my statement. Can we have a conversation about it?
Where is the responsibility for each party in fostering strong communication? So those three things, we're talking about it from the perspective of the client. Yes, they can show up endeavoring to do those three things. But where's the responsibility for the advisor in creating an environment in which the client feels like they can be honest, transparent, and open?
So the advisor steers the relationship, but you can only bring forward your professional advice to a client, but if the client doesn't open up with you, it's really hard to figure out what their goals are and what they want to achieve. So while the advisor steers the relationship, if the client doesn't come forward with their information, with their concerns, with their questions, then it's going to be a failed relationship.
I've done a lot of work training advisors on how to engage with clients. And part of that was helping them get used to having really, really tough conversations. The what are your goals? What's retirement like? They're easy, easy to have. Look at your investment portfolio. Very, very easy. Divorce, fertility issues, aging parents. These are really, really tough. From the client's expectations, where does the advisor end and the therapist begin?
So I don't think it's really a therapy session. I think, though, the questions that you said are easy questions. It's not really about asking the questions that makes it difficult. It's listening to the answer and trying to dig under what the client really feels, what the client really means by their answer. Because to ask superficial questions and to get superficial answers will never get the client where they need to be.
There is an enormous spectrum and skill level on the advisor's part. Would you agree?
Definitely.
Huge. So as you're interviewing advisors as the client, how do you gauge their communication skills and judge whether or not he or she is able to work at that level?
So in my book, I have a little chart. And in the chart, it says, these are the kinds of questions you have to ask. These are the kinds of things you want to look for in your advisor. First of all, you want to look for somebody who's available to you, who listens well, when you ask a question is responsive to your questions. But there's a whole list. It goes on for, I think, a couple of pages in a chart. Very, very easy to digest. Simply explaining what the client should be looking for in their present advisor and what to do if your present advisor is not doing the things that I suggest are important.
Are they trainable? Are advisors trainable? Can the client say, hey, I read this great book from Ellen Besner and here's how you need to serve me better?
I don't think it's the client's job to do that, but sure, I think that they are trainable. I believe everybody is trainable if they want to be. I think the question really for clients to ask themselves is, you can't change other people, but how can you change yourself to improve this relationship? Have you been open enough? Have you sat down with your advisor and said, look, I read this chart and let me take you through it. These are my concerns. It's really to change yourself that's the challenge.
What can a client realistically expect if they aren't someone with $2 million in assets under management and getting the platinum service that would go alongside that? If you've got 100 grand, you are not considered high net worth, you simply cannot expect to get 48 hours in a year.
I don't think the question necessarily is how much they have today. It's how much will they have that the advisor's more interested in. Is how can they help them grow towards a healthy retirement?
I agree, but if you've only got 100 grand, mm-hmm. you're getting a – you should expect a lesser service experience than if you've got 2 million bucks, in only that you're worth so much less revenue to them.
I don't believe that that's the case. I'm a lawyer on my smaller files. I don't give less attention
but
to
you
my
charge
clients.
But you charge an hourly rate that's similar.
I do, but I still give 100% to my clients on every single phone call I'm on with them. So advisors should be giving 100% of themselves when they're on the phone with their clients, and they should service them according to their needs. If they only have one mutual fund and, you know, or if they only have a couple of small investments, then how much does the client need? But in that first meeting and in their annual meetings, they should be all there with their clients. They should be present. They should be listening.
But we shouldn't expect that they're going to have the same time to contribute.
I don't know why not, because the reality is that you've got to get under whatever it is that the client needs and what is it that their financial needs are and how do you figure that out without time?
I would love if that were the case, but if someone's only got, and I say only with air quotes, only got 100 grand, they're probably going to be in a bank branch or with a financial advisor who may not even have a CFP.
And it may not be necessary for them to have a CFP. And it may be that a bank branch person can help them a lot.
Yeah, so totally. So, and this is not a criticism of people who work in any format. There are amazing advisors in every part of this country. I want to segue on to seniors and women. Those are two subgroups in which you focus on in your book. You've got chapters dedicated to them. What are some of the communication nuances that relate to those two demographics?
So with regard to seniors, it's very challenging because as we're used to in the Know Your Client forum, the advisor has to gauge whether or not the client understands what they're saying. And they need to really gauge what their financial acumen or understanding is. And as we get older, unfortunately, that decreases with time for most people, doesn't increase. So the challenge for advisors and clients is to adjust to that. Does the client have a power of attorney? Do they have somebody who they trust who they can bring to meetings? My mother brings me sometimes. Do they have an advisor who will have the patience for them and for the changes that occur? For women, they need to really understand the different values of each person. You can't put all women in one category, just like you can't put all men in one category. So you want to be careful and read the chapter. Mm. You'll see what it is. And, you know, funny because clients are reading these chapters as well so that they get a better insight into themselves.
Mm. One last question before we go. What are the conflicts of interest or potential conflicts of interest that advisors have to deal with in order to communicate effectively? And one example is providing tough love to a client on their spending habits when you don't want to lose the client, because the client might be like, yep, take care, bye-bye, don't want to be judged on my spending.
That is a big problem. The other big problem is some clients have been incredibly generous with other people, like their children, and then they get to a stage when they get older and they don't have enough money for their retirement and they turn to their advisor and say, I want high-risk investments
right. So
that I have high return. The advisor has to say no. Mm. Really difficult conversation.
Well, thank you very much for your insight and your experience on this. Lots of work for both clients and advisors to do.
Thank you, Bruce.
Ellen Bessner is a lawyer and the author of Communication Risk.